Passion Sunday. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, when Christ appeared as the high priest of good things to come, he entered once and for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by the virtue of his own blood, into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is mediator of a new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for the redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive an eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convict me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews, therefore, in answer, said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews, therefore, said, "Now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar, but I know him and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's epistle, St. Paul is showing how Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. That is, the Old Testament ritual in which the high priest on the Day of Atonement goes into the Holy of Holies and sprinkles the blood of the heifer mixed with ashes upon the altar. And this is the atonement for that year, so that the sins of the people would then be atoned for, so that then for the past year, and then the next year they have to do it again. And this is St. Paul is showing and explaining how this old ritual is actually pointing to Christ. It is truly fulfilled with Christ. If the sprinkling of the blood of a heifer forgive sins, then how much greater the sprinkling of our Lord's blood. Our Lord is then fulfilled here. Once and for all, he enters into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle his blood for our atonement. Now, of course, this happens on Good Friday. On Good Friday, in which Christ atones for our sins through his crucifixion. Now, we commemorate that, of course, through our celebration of Good Friday. And there is a very beautiful section in the liturgy of Good Friday. And it is called the Divine Reproaches, the reproaches on Good Friday, where it is as though Christ is talking to us, talking about how we have offended him. And it is in this mystical language of the Old Testament. He talks about Moses and the deliverance from Egypt. I led you from Pharaoh. I led you from bondage. I fed you manna in the desert. And yet you have, what have I done to deserve this? And of course, we who listen to this should, of course, be thinking, we understand that that bondage in Pharaoh represents our bondage to the devil. And that Christ delivering us is, of course, our deliverance. And the manna that he fed in the desert, of course, is the Eucharist. But we should then listen to that and apply it to ourselves, but in the fulfillment of that, that is, in our faith here, that for our sins, what have we done? Or why? What has he done to deserve this suffering? And so I will read the reproaches so we can meditate on them. Here on Passion Sunday, we veil the statues so that we can focus more on the great triduum, the suffering of our Lord in atonement for our sins, so that we can focus on this. So today is a good day to read these, and we can meditate on these. I'll read the English translation. My people, what have I done unto you? Wherein what have I offended you? Answer me. Because I have led you out of the land of Egypt, you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Because I have led you out through the desert 40 years, and fed you with manna, and brought you into a very good land, you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Our Lord gives us good things, and yet we still offend him. We still sin against him. What more should I have done, and did it not? Behold, I have planted you as my fairest vine, and you have become very bitter to me. For you have quenched my thirst with vinegar, and with a lance you have pierced your Savior's side. For you I have scourged Egypt and its firstborn, and you have given me over to be scourged. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. You know, when our Lord was on the cross, of course we know, he made atonement for all of us. But we have to remember that it wasn't just a general atonement, where his intention was, all sins in the future and in the past I'm making atonement for. But remember, he's true God and true man. As God, he knew each one of us. And he knew every one of our sins. And as he hung upon the cross, he made atonement, not just for your sins and my sins in a general way, but he knew every sin that you committed, and I committed, and I will commit, and you will commit, and he makes atonement for that. He sees it, and he offers it for it back. I have led you out of Egypt, overwhelming Pharaoh in the Red Sea, and you have delivered me to the chief priests. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. I opened the sea before you, and you have opened my side with a lance. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. I went before you in a pillar of cloud, and you have led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. I fed you with manna through the desert, and you have smitten me with buffets and lashes. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. You know, in the movie The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson has many troubles of his own, but in that movie, at the moment of our Lord's crucifixion, when he is being nailed to the cross, Mr. Gibson decided to use his own hands in the movie to nail our Lord to the cross. And so when you see the close-up, it is his hands placing our Lord's hand upon the cross. And it is his hands that are nailing our Lord to the cross. Why does he do this? He did this in order to show that it is his sins. And we must meditate on that. The centurion 2,000 years ago who literally nailed Christ to the cross, of course, he literally did it, but it is our sins, it is my sin that nails him to the cross. Why have we done this to him? He's given us so many good things, and yet we still offend. I have given you water of salvation to drink from the rock, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. For you I smote the kings of the Canaanites, and you have smitten my head with a reed. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. I gave you a royal scepter, and you have given my head a crown of thorns. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. With great power I lifted you up, and you have hung me upon the gibbet of the cross. My people, what have I done to you, or in what have I offended you? Answer me. There is no answer we can give. What has he done to deserve this? Nothing. Nothing. There is no answer we can give. He offered himself for us. And whenever we sin, we need to think about this, that we increase his suffering upon the cross. You know, I'm reminded of a man who tells a story. He was in an automobile accident, and he claims to have been before the judgment seat of our Lord. And our Lord listed his sins. And he said, there was nothing I could say but just yes. His unforgiven sins. It's just yes. There is no answer. There is no answer. Of course, for that man, Our Lady interceded, and he came back. And of course, he's reformed his life greatly. But we should think about that. There's no answer for our sins. St. Augustine tells a story when he was a young man of the pear tree. A neighbor of his had a prized pear tree. It was his pride and joy. And the man would tend to it. And as the pears got ripe, he would look forward to the pears. Well, one year, St. Augustine and his friends, they were teenagers, they went one night and they took all the pears off the tree. And he said, it wouldn't have been that bad had we eaten the pears. But we didn't even eat the pears. We threw them away. We threw them away. And he uses this as an example of just the wickedness of sin. For what? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why do we sin? This is the mystery. Why have we done this to our Savior? There can be no answer. So what can we do? What do we do? Our Lord, as I said, as he hung upon the cross, he sees each one of us. And so we should join with Our Lady. His one consolation was to see his mother there at the foot of the cross with him. And St. John and Mary Magdalene at her side. And that is where he received support and consolation. His mother was there, compassionating with him. And so, what should we do? We should join Our Lady at the foot of the cross. He sees each one of us. He's God. And so when we join Our Lady, there's nothing we can say. The reason why we do this, the reason why we sin, all we can do is just kneel humbly, unite ourselves to the prayer of Our Lady, to thank Him, and to humbly and simply say, I am sorry. I am sorry for doing this. To thank Him for the good things that He wants to give us. Everything we have, our life in this world, every good thing, is given to us by God. And there are so many greater things He has in store for us in heaven. So we must just approach humbly. There is no answer to apologize and to thank. This is a very uncomfortable thing to do. We always want to make an excuse. And unfortunately, many times, in many places, this is not talked about. Good Friday is brushed over. We forget about these things. We don't want to face up to the fact. There is no answer we can give Him. The only thing we can do, the best thing to do, is to just join Our Lady. So, as Good Friday approaches in Passion Time, I ask you all to just spend some time meditating upon this. What answer can we give? Nothing. We can only unite ourselves. Thank our Lord for taking our sins upon Himself, and to apologize and to promise to never sin again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.